Yep.
Yeah. You've got to call the Jobs and Economic Development Committee to order. We're going to do something we haven't done for a while. We're going to do minutes. And I know, Representative Gunther, you have been looking studiously at the March 12th minutes and would like to move them? Okay, all those in favor of moving the March 12th minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Same sign for opposed. Representative Ward, I know you've been looking at the March 14th.
I have, Mr. Chair, and I'll move those.
And would you like to make that motion to move the 14th?
I move it. So.
All those in favor of the March 14th minutes as written, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right, we got the 14th done. March 21st, Representative Newton, have you been looking at the March 21st minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the minutes.
Thank you, Representative Newton. All those in favor of moving the March 21st minutes as written, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. And Representative Uglum, I know you've been looking at the April 2nd meeting and would like to move those.
I have, sir. Yes, I'll move those.
All those in favor of the April moving the April 2nd minutes as written, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Good. We got most of our minutes out of the way, and if we have any more, we'll get those next week. Members, my hope is to vote this, hear all the amendments, vote this out today. But we have a room, we have the basement room reserved for after session. And we can come back till I think 6 o'clock, if depending on how long session is. And barring that, we can come back tomorrow at 12:30, which would not be my preference. I would like to get this done. Members, I am going to move the House File 729, DE2 amendment to House File 729. So first we need to adopt the DE2 amendment and get the bill in the order that I would appreciate it to be in. So having moved House File 729, I now move the DE2 amendment to House File 729. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. We now have the bill in the order that I would like. Members, I could spend time going over the bill. I presented it 2 days ago. People have had a couple days to take a look at it, look at the spreadsheet, look at the language in the bill. Is there any desire for me to go over the bill again? Seeing none. We will go directly to testimony. It is now just a little past 12:30. We're here till 2. I would like to be done with testimony by 1 o'clock, if at all possible, and then go to amendments. If we need more time for testimony, we'll go a little bit, but hopefully we will not. So, Joel Ludke, the Senior Program Officer with the J. and Rose Phillips Family Foundation. And I believe he's going to testify to how wonderful of a program Fast Track is. But maybe more.
We'll try to limit it to that. Where would you like me? Here? Yeah. I'm joined by my colleague, Brian Paulson, the Director of
Innovation Strategies
at the Greater Twin Cities United Way.
Mr. Lucky, if you could please identify yourself for the tape and proceed.
Thank you, Representative Mahoney. My name is Joel Ludke. I'm Senior Program Officer at the J. and Rose Phillips Family Foundation of Minnesota. A family foundation with a 70-year history of helping this be a great state. Thank you for inviting me to speak today. I'm happy to support your inclusion of continued support for the Critical Fast Track Career Pathway Initiative. I'm here representing a group of local and regional philanthropic foundations that have a common interest in sustaining the prosperity of our state by closing the gaps that exist, between the skills of our workforce and the needs of employers, and by simultaneously closing our wide racial disparities in employment. We fund efforts throughout the state to help mainly low-income adults get skills to advance into living wage jobs. But we know that we need to partner with state and local governments to achieve our goals, and it is in that spirit of partnership that I come here to applaud this committee's decision to include continued support for Fast Track, the Fast Track Career Pathways Initiative. This investment will help hundreds, if not thousands, of adults succeed in post-secondary training, in a post-secondary training system that has an otherwise poor track record of getting them to completion. If you turn to the second page of your handout, the challenge, I think many of these facts may be familiar to you by now, but in Minnesota we are blessed with an economy that is growing better than many of our peer states, but we face a long-term threat to our prosperity in the skills gap. We know from strong research that 70% of the jobs in our state will require a post-secondary credential by 2018, but only about 40% of the adults in our workforce right now have such a credential. And it's tempting to look to the K-12 system to solve that problem for us, but we know that two-thirds of our state's workforce in 2030 is already working today. So we need to solve this problem by focusing on working adults. Turning to the next page, which is higher education, making higher education work for adults. So any adult that wants to upskill his or her skills and improve their career pathway will likely end up in an institution of higher education, and likely that will be a MNSCU institution. And we see this happening already in the student body of MNSCU, where over half of their students are above the age of 24, over half are part-time students and working jobs, and we regrettably see that over half, or about half, take remedial courses. And we know from national research that these remedial courses are essentially a dead end for people who are looking to complete a certificate or a degree, and that part-time learners also struggle mightily to finish the certificates and degrees that they embark upon. But there are strategies that have been proven to help these kinds of learners, more than half of MNSCU's student body, to succeed in higher education. One is the idea of support systems, support services, so that adults can weather the chaos that happens in their life and stay on track to complete their certificates and degrees. Another is the idea of an integrated instruction model in the classroom in college. It's a model based on some innovation in Washington called IBEST. And the best example of that model in our state, the only example, is Fast Track. So turning to the next page. The Fast Track initiative essentially extends an individual's career pathway into and through college. Career pathway can start at an ESL class, it can start in an adult basic education program, it can start in high school, but at some point, if people want to progress towards a living wage job, they probably need to go to college. They probably need to get a certificate or a degree, and we know from national research that these part-time learners, these people who have to go through remedial education, they rarely succeed. Fast Track helps those learners to succeed by providing an educational experience that works for them and bridging them up to the college level. Turning to the next page, the early results of Fast Track are very encouraging. We see from the early cohorts that 67% of the Fast Track participants completed an occupational prep course and moved into their MNSCU career pathway, and 88% of those who moved into that career pathway completed their first career pathway course. So we see great encouraging results that Fast Track works for these part-time adult learners, and we are really thankful that your committee has included continuing support for Fast Track. The last point I'd like to make is the page of my handout. We have created a really a very nice 6-minute video, and if you can, in your crazy schedule, find 6 minutes to watch this video, you will see employers and workers who have gone through fast track programs talking about what it meant for them, why it was integral to their success. I think it's in those stories and in the faces in that video that you will really understand why that modest innovation, this modest investment, can make such a critical difference for adult learners in higher education.
Thank you. You had a tough sell at the chairman, so.
Yeah.
Please identify yourself for the tape and add to really great comments and tell us how great we are for putting into the Fast Track program.
Brian Paulson with Greater Twin Cities United Way. Would echo a lot of what Joel has already said, but to me, the innovation of Fast Track is really in thinking about how we as a system can work more effectively and efficiently. And we do see that systems are moving, that increasingly adult basic education is focusing upon educational outcomes, and increasingly MNSCU is connecting meaningfully with partners in adult basic education within workforce, and ultimately creating systems that are more effective for low-income, low-skill adults, as well as more efficient, that we're looking at who is best in the business at providing different services within kind of this career pathway framework, and who can provide those services most efficiently. So philanthropy has partnered here, as well as multiple departments at the state level. So this is a program that ultimately is pushing the boundary on how we can meet a pressing skills gap need while looking at how we can improve larger systems.
Thank you. Are there any quick questions for the testifiers? I will thank you so very much. We're on a tight schedule, so I will keep it short. But if you could find or have someone find the dollars, you know, there's a state part to Fast Track, and there's a philanthropic part to it, it would be really wonderful to know what kind of matching dollars. I don't necessarily need to know came from this foundation or another foundation, but how much money was put into it by foundations to help Fast Track move forward.
Well, I can tell you right now that United Way, in partnership with a number of other foundations, are positioned to make $1 million investment over the course of the next 3 years, which is a significant increase in investment as compared to the last 2 years.
Fabulous. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
We had someone from the St. Paul Parks Department, Catherine Eichers-Pecker. Did I get that right? I probably didn't get it right, but... Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Please identify yourself for the tape. Proceed.
My name is Catherine Pinkert. I work with the City of St. Paul, and I'm here representing our Youth Job Corps program. First, we want to thank Chair Mahoney and this committee for including continued funding for youth employment in the omnibus bill. Last year, we were awarded $560,000 through the competitive grant program. And with that, we provided work readiness training for 809 youth, and we employed 471 young people at over 90 work sites across St. Paul. 95% of these dollars went directly to youth wages. The purpose of our program is to connect St. Paul youth and young adults with meaningful training, work, and career exploration opportunities so they are prepared to thrive and prosper. To that end, we require that all of our supervisors of our young people provide training, observation, and feedback on 16 employability skills such as timeliness, accountability, problem solving, and teamwork. We trained all of our supervisors on implementing a project-based approach to workplace learning, and we required that all youth complete a resume and a workplace portfolio to ensure that they can demonstrate their work experience. Because of this, 90% of our participants reported that they had developed knowledge and skills required for a future career. And I want to tell you about one of our great success stories, a young woman named Vermal Peewee. She is a senior at Twin Cities Academy who has worked with us for 2 summers, first teaching video production with St. Paul Neighborhood Network and then mentoring elementary students in a free camp on the city's east side. In these positions, she learned a lot about herself and about work that helped shape her future plans. She learned that she has a passion for working with children, and she also learned to give and accept criticism from her teammates. She is currently deciding between attending DePaul, UMD, or Xavier University next year, where she plans to study political science and psychology. She hopes to continue giving back to her community by becoming a lawyer and working in juvenile justice. Vermal's story exemplifies what we know to be true for many of our youth. Meaningful summer work experiences have a powerful impact on future plans. Over 1,400 youth have already applied for jobs this summer, and we look forward to the opportunity to compete for these funds again. So thank you again to Chair Mahoney and the committee for your leadership in this area.
My pleasure. Good afternoon. Please identify yourself for the tape.
Thank you, Chair Mahoney and members of the committee. My name is Deb Barr-Hilgen from the City of Minneapolis Employment and Training Program. We also want to thank you for the support of summer youth employment programs. There is a tremendous need for summer internships. This year, we had over 4,500 applications for our program, and 3,600 youth are invited into work readiness training, and those who successfully complete work readiness training will become the pool of applicants for nearly 2,000 jobs. But the best way to hear about the success and maybe the long-term impact of summer youth employment programs is to hear from an intern. And I just want to introduce to you Hashim Yonas. Hashim fled Somalia's civil war and lived as a refugee in camps in Ethiopia and Kenya before moving to Minnesota with his family as a young child. And I'll just let him describe his experience and step up.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself, and if it's like another Ethiopian name I have around here, you might want to have to spell it for our staff.
No problem. My name is Hashim Yonis, as I was actually born in Somalia, lived in Ethiopia, Kenya, and throughout East Africa as a refugee kid. I am here to inform and to share a brief story of my own and how youth development and investing in youth can really change an individual's life. One of my favorite presidents of all time, John F. Kennedy, said once, you know, people do not have equal talents, but all individuals should be given the equal opportunity to develop their talents. So for me, I was given an opportunity to develop my talent, and that was coming from you know, youth development and investing in the youth. So to be honest, I don't know if I would have been even here if I wasn't invested by Step Up and Achieve Minneapolis, because it's not just a summer job. It really changed the way I think professionally. Now I am the youngest school administrative manager in the nation. I am the first in Midwest to be a White House youth ambassador, representing Midwest and representing the voice of the youth. So we have a lot to do in investing in the youth. Currently, I am in the University of Minnesota doing my principal licensure and also in a PhD program that I am really truly inspired by the people that I was working with while I was mentored, you know, through the Step Up program in City of Minneapolis. So as a product of Minneapolis Public School and as a product of youth development and Step Up, I invite all of you, not just this board, but also to invest in a long term, because the more we invest in youth, the less problems that we will have. And I don't have to make speech about that, because the study also shows that when you invest in a younger, in our generation, you will have a shaped and perhaps a perfect society. Thank you.
Did you have something to add?
Hi, my name is Linda Tachik. I'm with the Minneapolis Park Board. We received funding for our Teamworks Learn to Earn program. Last year we received $300,000 from DEED, and that enabled us to hire over 330 youth to do 9-week internships in our park system, where youth received employment, hands-on employment, skill building, work readiness training, and also educational sessions, and it was very beneficial, and we totally appreciate your continued support.
Yeah, we put way more money, so you should be able to get even more. I think Representative Kiefer, you had a question?
Quickly, Mr. Chair, thank you. To all the different programs, do your youth earn minimum wage in the program?
Ours do.
Our youth over age 18, youth ages 19 to 24, earn, I think, a quarter more than minimum wage.
What do you mean? But sorry.
No. Minimum wage is $7.25 an hour, right? So we pay older youth $7.50 an hour.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to just point out that we need to be really careful about any potential changes in minimum wage as to how that's going to affect your bottom line and if you're going to have to cut off... I hate to say cut off some heads, but,
but no, don't
just
do that.
Be aware of how that could impact your budgets. Thank you.
Thank you so very much for coming today. I appreciate it. And hopefully with all the money that was put into that, you can do much more good work as you've already than you've already done. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You.
Representative Mallory, quickly.
It's very quick. Mr. Chair, I think it's not too hard to pronounce the name of a certain Ethiopian in the... in the room.
That is correct.
I think that, and the spelling, I think, is the exact same as the ethnic... well,
thank you.
But I meant the ethnic.
Thank you.
Isn't it?
There is a... Charlie Vandermeer, yes, did you want to say a few words? Please identify yourself for the tape. Brevity will be appreciated.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Charlie Vanderardi for Metro Cities, an association of 86 members in the metropolitan area, and also here today for the League of Minnesota Cities. I'd like to thank the chairman for including some important economic development programs in the budget, specifically the Minnesota Investment Fund, which supports private investment in communities by partnering with local governments to close the financing gap on business growth and expansion projects. The $20 million in funding is a significant increase over previous program funding levels, which have been oversubscribed. The redevelopment grant program helps cities with costs for redeveloping blighted industrial, residential, or commercial sites where the need to recycle the land for more productive use exists. The program aids local officials with the cost of land acquisition, demolition, infrastructure improvements, soil stabilization, and environmental infrastructure. General fund dollars are important to this program as they allow greater flexibility to finance redevelopment projects. While bonding funds are helpful to pay for infrastructure upgrades in already developed areas such as downtowns, general fund dollars help with the larger expenses of demolition. This levels the playing field for developers, providing them incentive to consider a redevelopment site for their project. Both of these programs provide economic benefits to local economies, and we support their funding. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I see people trying to work their way towards the witness stand. I will tell you, if you have an amendment coming up, you will be called down to testify. But if you do not have an amendment coming up and you want to say how great a committee this is, you're more than welcome. I mean, if you have anything to say about this particular bill, you're welcome to come to the table. Welcome to come to the table. I don't see anyone coming to the table.
Yeah.
Well, let's do some amendments and see where we go. I believe the way that the amendments were put together is they're 1 through almost 30. I'm rather surprised that we got 30, and I'm hoping a lot of them are dropped off before we get to it. I'm going to take them one at a time, 1 through whatever, or actually I guess the A1 did not make it to the CLA by 9:30, so that was not going to be heard. I don't know whose that was. I have an A2 amendment here. And I don't know who brought this amendment forward.
It's your amendment. It's your office amendment.
This is an author's amendment. There you go. It's the technical amendment. This is the Mahoney amendment. Don't even recognize my own amendment. Says a lot about the chair. I'm going to pull out the bill. You know, better than having me dig through my bill, I'm going to ask staff to explain it. So if Ms. Newman could explain the A2 amendment.
Mr. Chair and members, the A2 amendment is the author's technical amendment to the bill. The change on lines 3 and 4 is a change to an effective date for elevator fees. It was something between the Department of Labor and Industry and the Multi-Housing Association. The changes on lines 5 and 6 is to delete a purpose statement that wasn't supposed to be in the bill to begin with. The change on line 7 is a rule reference, and this is strictly a software issue with the reviser system, and we couldn't do it in our office, so the reviser will have to hand do this. This is a labor and industry rule reference that needs to be included. And the change on line 8 is to take out the rulemaking exemption that Deed had wanted for the job creation fund. So line 8 will subject the job creation fund to the rulemaking process. And that's the amendment.
Any discussion? Any discussion? Did you have something to add?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to mention that on the spreadsheet, the amendment, the line 4, 1.4, that will reduce the elevator fee adjustment by half in the first fiscal year from 254 down to 127 because we're delaying the effective date by a year or a half a year or so.
And that does not cause us any problems, Mr. Stoudemire, does it?
Nope.
All right. Any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor of the A2 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. All right. We have the A3, which I believe is the Gunther Amendment for the Inventors Congress.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. the A3 Amendment is the Inventors Congress is an organization that is headquartered in Redwood Falls but represents the whole state. It showcases inventors that invent various products, and I think the person who is in charge of that program is probably best to explain this amendment, so I would like to have the person in charge of the Inventors Congress talk.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the tape and make your case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Richard Schwartz, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Inventors Congress, and I want to thank you all, and particularly Representative Gunther, for this amendment. For the past 56 years, we have been working with inexperienced inventors to help them bring their ideas to life and to market, creating hundreds of businesses and probably millions of dollars in taxes. We are now asking for your support for an amendment for $300,000 over the next biennium for the 2014 and 2015 fiscal biennium. We're recommending a fiscally neutral amendment to shift money out of the competitive grants program and directly appropriating it to the Minnesota Inventors Congress. Since the mid-1980s, we've received direct appropriations except for the last 2 years. What is the Minnesota Inventors Congress? Like I said, we help inventors bring their ideas to market and create jobs and tax-paying businesses. In fact, just last year, the MIC's work with two inventors in Brownsdale, Minnesota, resulted in them landing an $8 million deal from John Deere Corporation, creating more than 25 jobs and generating hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes spent in the state. This will be an ongoing business for years to come, and considering that the state spent about $75,000 during the biennium to produce that result, I can conservatively estimate that the state's return on investment is several hundred percent. I only wish that as an entrepreneur I could receive such an ROI with the various ventures with which I'm involved with. Why are we recommending a shift to direct appropriation? First of all, we serve the full state. And we're not just focused on Redwood Falls. MIC is totally unique in the state of Minnesota. We are blessed with a variety of organizations that provide wonderful services for people who want to start businesses, but there's no other nonprofit organization in the state that deals directly with inventors to be able to help them protect their ideas and be able to bring them to life and be able to take them to market. In fact, we also get most of our referrals from Deed's Small Business Development Corporations, the 9 different geographies that they serve, and also from the Small Business Administration. As a tiny organization with one full-time employee, and I'm a new addition, a part-time addition, and some seasonal help, we firmly believe that the taxpayer dollars that it takes to comply with grant requirements would be better spent on directly serving investors. As I've told many of you individually, I'm a longtime entrepreneur who was asked by the board to help re-energize this organization recently. I know how vitally important accountability is in terms of running a successful organization, and we are absolutely committed to welcome useful and productive accountability requirements. And we look forward to continuing work with DEED in terms of oversight of our operations. MIC needs an adequate amount of money to accomplish our intended goals, and one of our stated goals is also outreach to minority inventors who have been completely underserved throughout the state. So as I heard Chairman Mahoney say yesterday in his introductory remarks on this bill, on Tuesday, he said, quote, "We have funded tried and true programs, programs that create jobs and definite economic development." Based on this comment alone, the Minnesota Inventors Congress clearly fits this group of programs that should be funded directly. The MIC is a tried and true program that has contributed as recently as last year a very significant documented return on investment in terms of both jobs creation and taxes generated. As a proud fourth-generation Minnesotan, I can't think of a more prudent way to spend my and my family's tax dollars. In close, on behalf of the Minnesota Inventors Congress Board and all the thousands of clients we have served, we appreciate your continued support.
Representative Gunther, did you have any other comments?
I just have one, Mr. Chairman. I have visited the Inventors Congress, and they do a lot of fun things like teach people how to patent their products, the inventions they make, and so forth, and it does give the state a significant return on their investment. I've seen many program products on shelves that they showcase there.
Representative Gunther and Mr. Schwartz, I knew this amendment was. Representative Gunther was kind enough to give me a heads up about this amendment coming. I talked to the Department of Employment and Economic Development. They assured me that you qualify for the grant, for the competitive grant program. The governor increased that dollar figure in his budget, and we put 30% more into it than the governor did. And so for that reason, I, as the chair, would ask that people vote against this. You should be able to put together a very good grant proposal and present it to DEED and win a substantial amount of money. Now, the Minnesota Inventors Congress has been an entity for a long, long time. You have many successful inventors and people with, you know, some dollars in their pocket because of the Inventors Congress. And you need to put your grant in and then go to the people that you've helped in the past. But members, I would ask that this amendment not go on at this particular time because it does break the seal on the competitive grant program. Are there any other comments? Mr. Representative Mallory.
Mr. Chair, I just want to reiterate what you said because I started working on amendments for groups that I thought were really important and needed funding, and I decided that the chair was following the past chair on wanting competitive grants and not other ways. And if we start breaking down for one from the competitive grants, I guarantee I'm going to have amendments for ones that I and a lot of other people are. So I think that the chair is absolutely right in this case, and I hate to say that.
Thank you, Representative Mulray. Representative Gunther.
I think Representative Mulray has some good sage advice there.
Members, is there another question? Any other comment? Any other comment? Representative Norton.
Sure, Mr. Chair, and we had a really nice talk yesterday, and I, too, encouraged our speaker here to really get to work on that application and ask for more because I think it's an excellent program and I think it can win a grant from DEED, and certainly willing to continue to offer any advice. But I completely agree and support the chair's belief and support of what we have been trying to do, which is have a competitive grant process so there's more accountability and so that the department can make certain that they put the resources to the place that the state can get the best return on investment, knowing that we have wonderful, many, many wonderful opportunities to place funds throughout this whole state, as Representative Mulry often has bills. I've had a few in the past. Perhaps we've all have our favorite project, but that wasn't allowing the state to utilize its funds in the best, most efficient way possible. And so I'm going to be very supportive of this, and unfortunately this bill and or this amendment and several others that are coming forward that I feel quite strongly about are excellent programs, and I know there'll be some disappointed people in the audience when they you know, they hear us vote, some of us vote against their bills. It's not based on the merit of the bill. They're excellent projects and programs, but we do want them to go through the competitive grant process so that the department can assure us accountability for each of those programs, and so we are assured of a good return on investment. So, Mr. Chair, I will be supporting your, I guess, advice.
So, any further comment? Seeing none. All those in favor of the A3 amendment signify by saying aye. All those opposed, same sign. Aye. Okay. I'm sorry. Good luck. And I have put a good word in at the department with you.
Well, sir. And I do hope that I see you next year. We may be out of business, but I hope I see you next year.
So keep your fingers crossed.
I don't think you'll be out of business. We have the next one on the list is the A6. This is a John Ward amendment.
Chair, yes, it is.
Would you like to move your amendment?
I'd like to move the A6 amendment, Mr. Chair.
We don't have half of these amendments.
Would you like to explain what it does?
I would, Mr. Chair. Members, I'm just going to recall for you, we had a hearing on the Enterprise Minnesota program called the Growth Acceleration Program, the GAP program. And members, over the Easter break, I toured two manufacturing companies in my district, Landis Gurr and Stearns Industries. And one of the things I learned at the Stern Industries was that they really, really relied on the GAP program to expand their business and how it helped them grow. Matter of fact, members, the GAP program, since it was first put into place in 2008, has helped over 245 manufacturing companies in the state of Minnesota, creating 1,700 jobs, boosting the economy, boosting sales by $106 million. Has a return of a $30 to $1 investment in most companies, even up to a $40 to $1 return on some companies. And members, so what I did was, it was in the bill for $300,000 per year. Our request initially, members, was a $1.5 million request for the appropriation, and it came out of the bill at $300,000. And so just to help our manufacturing base in the state of Minnesota grow some more, which we greatly need. We're starting to make things again, which is how we're going to spur this economy. And members, this would put the I talked to the chair, and the chair helped me look at finding another $75,000 per year. And members, what that would do, it would put it back to its original $375,000 per year appropriation, which was the original appropriation back in 2007. So, members, I'm asking for your support on this to help you know, all the manufacturing companies in the state of Minnesota to you know, be able to invest in this program, the GAP program, for business expansion and growth.
Thank you, Representative Ward. Are there any other comments? Any other comments? Representative Mulry.
Well, Mr. Chair, you know, I don't disagree that it's a plus, but the Job Skills Partnership is recognized nationally for a success here. And the last thing we should be, we need a lot more in the Job Skills Partnership. We shouldn't be taking it out. There's a lot of, everybody here has programs they think need more money, and I just think Job Skills Partnership is one of the last we should be cutting, because we should be greatly increasing it if we had any funds anywhere.
Any other comments, or otherwise I will members, Representative Mulry, you're correct. The Job Skills Partnership is a great program, or part right. The We have increased the funding for the Job Skills Partnership dramatically this year. The governor did, and then we added even more. The Job Skills Partnership and the GAP program work pretty much hand in hand. This $75,150,000, I think it is, will allow them to draw down an extra, I think it's a half million from the federal government. I might be off by a bit. So it does really increase the their ability to work within the state. So for that reason, I'm going to be supporting this particular amendment. And hopefully we can get this passed and put this on and then take it to conference and see where we go, where we come out. But I hear your concerns about the Job Skills Partnership. It is probably one of the better ones for our manufacturers in the state. So, Representative Albright, did you have a question or a comment?
For Representative Ward, if you might. To the point of the amendment, my assessment of the amendment speaks to moving from one of more of a broad brush to more one of finessing of economic job growth. Would that be your attempt here?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Ward.
The intent, Representative Albright, is simply to allow more manufacturing companies in the state of Minnesota to have access to these funds, allowing their businesses to grow and prosper and job creation in the state of Minnesota. If that's a broad brush, the answer to your question is yes.
Representative Albright.
Representative Ward, then, if you could refresh my understanding in terms of the differentiation between the two programs.
If I could ask to clarify between Job Skills Partnership and GAP.
Minnesota.
Representative Ward.
Mr. Chair, Representative Albright, I'm not that familiar with the Job Skills Partnership program, quite frankly, and honestly, I do know that I've been visiting on my manufacturers in my area who have used the GAP program and have praised and asked for that the GAP program to be vital and important and funded, well funded in the state of Minnesota. But I can't speak to the Job Skills Partnership program.
If I might just chime in here, the GAP program is the planning, the marketing, the business plan, so to speak. Job Skills Partnership, when a company wants to do incumbent worker training, so an employee that's already working for them, they are required to come up with half. And the Job Skills Partnership pays the other half.
Oh, okay.
So it's an adult workforce training program, but you have to have a job first.
Okay.
Get your skills better so that you can be more productive and hopefully get a raise. And I don't know if that answers your question.
So just, Mr. Chair, then Job Skills Partnership is an enhancement to an existing job in existence, whereas Enterprise Minnesota is more towards to Representative Ward's position. The genesis of new enterprises in the state.
I believe you are correct. Representative Uglum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you know, with the GAP program, I think we all know that many, many businesses, startup businesses, fail because they don't have an adequate business plan. They don't have the management in place to really follow through on all of this. So I think GAP probably gets you more bang for the dollar overall. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And just so for those who, just for, what is it, clear and concise, they actually did a photo shoot of me and all the questions, and that
oh,
was
we
the...
Go
that
for
was,
it there.
Yeah. Representative Molly.
I'll bring Lane.
Just... Representative Molly.
I've talked to a number of manufacturers who have used the Job Skills Partnership, and in many cases, it's not necessarily just keeping the same job. It's a difference between whether we keep the jobs here in Minnesota or they go someplace else sometimes. So it's not just the same person keeping them. going to keep the job anyhow, because often if our manufacturers don't step up to that new level that's being done in Wisconsin, wherever, then we lose the job here.
Seeing no other comment. All those in favor of the A6 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign?
No.
No. I think the A6 passed. We now have the A7 in front of us, which is a Mullery amendment on the mental health professionals being added to foreign training, foreign physician training.
Mr. Chair, we need to clarify that, and my understanding is the chair has no problem with adding that, because there's been cases where courts have held that health does not include mental health. So everybody agrees that we want mental health included in there. Let's make sure that some court doesn't say it doesn't include that.
Any further comments? Seeing none. All those in favor of the A7 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. At least I marked this one. It's my amendment. The A9. The A9 amendment is the internship program, the Scientech Experience internship program. What this amendment does, and it's on page 5, line 30, it raises the size of companies that this organization, the MHTA, can place students. In the 7-county metro area, they have to be fewer than 150 employees. And in the greater Minnesota area, they have to be... they have to have no more than 250 employees. And the reason for this amendment is that the MHTA and their members, the people who run this program, I have told them that they need to do a 50-50 split as much as possible, greater Minnesota and urban Minnesota, and they have to address the underrepresented students in the STEM, so essentially women and people, young men and women of color. And they said this would make that so much easier for them to do. So what this is we're just, again, I'm being nice to the greater Minnesota people. Yeah. Any other comments on the A9 amendment? Representative Clark.
I'm just trying to understand the part about removing women.
Could you bring that? I can't hear you, Representative Clark.
I'm just trying to understand why we would remove the word women from this. Women are all over the state. I'm just wondering what the reason for that is.
Representative Clark, I have been assured that they don't really need that language in. If it's comfort language that you want, you could certainly put it back in. But knowing the person who is running the MHTA, I'm not too worried about the idea that they will be pretty expansive in trying to bring in people of color and underrepresented people in the STEM. Representative Norton, did you want to say a few words?
Well, I did, Mr. Chair. This was a bill that I carried, and I wasn't aware of these changes, and I'm feeling a little frustrated by that. So I guess I'm trying to listen to what you just did and accept that. There's also a lot of deletions, and I'm not sure what you're deleting, and I haven't, this kind of caught me off guard. I do share Representative Clark's concern, and I would like to amend your amendment by striking line 1.15 from the amendment right now, and then I guess I will...
1.15?
1.15.
Huh. Okay. Make the motion.
So I did. Sorry, I'm moving that we strike lines 1.15.
Any discussion? Any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor of striking line 1.15 from the A9 amendment please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And all those opposed? Representative Norton.
Thank you. And then could you explain to me, and I've got too many papers here, and if you can't do it, I'll dig through my papers here. But can you explain to me, we've deleted lines 31 to 35 on page 5, and we've deleted a lot of language. And so I understand what you've added, and I'm supportive of the addition. I'm not clear what you've subtracted. And
let me grab the amendment here, the bill.
Let's... So it's the
stuff that's being deleted. So if you look at the bill on page 5, line 30. Are you talking about line 1.12 on the amendment?
I was, Mr. Chair, and I guess I would say it appears to me that what's happened is you've deleted on line 1.12 and line 1.13, you've deleted text, but the language that is just previous to that on line 1.13 of the amendment down to 1.11 is replacement language.
It is.
For something, so it's the tweak of the rest. Okay. I can live with that, Mr. Chair, and I'm sorry to bother you with this, but I was just, as the author of the bill, I just was kind of surprised. So I was just looking for some clarification, and I'm sorry I wasn't up to speed.
Well, there just for some members, there was a offer to sit down with anybody on going over the amendments a little earlier today, and I'm grateful that a couple people were able to make it.
So. And Mr. Chair, I certainly would have been there. Unfortunately, we had rules and Health and Human Service, and I was chairing the committee, so I apologize.
So, members, really, what we're trying to do here is make it simpler to place STEM interns in companies that can use them and keep them in the state of Minnesota, both in the urban area and in the greater Minnesota area. And so, unless there's further conversation, Representative Kiefer.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. To you, Mr. Chair, I guess. I just want to know if there's any problem with the mandate as far as the numbers go. It says they must be matched. Is there any problem with filling these positions? I mean, is there any chance that a company, that the intern just, there isn't a job available for them, or nobody wants them, or it's a bigger cost than the company wants at that point? Is there any problem with that?
Representative Kiefer, in conversations with this, unless Representative Norton wants to take it, I've been told that there are over 500 companies that have been interested in taking an intern. And we're talking 125 interns a year.
Thanks. I just want to make sure there's no unintended consequences of something down the road for a business. Thanks.
Representative Albright.
This is, Mr. Chair, this is a question for the chair. On line 1.3, where language inserted starts 2 and 4-year colleges and university students in their field of study. I'm just wondering if that excludes those that would attend technical colleges or technical institutes.
I don't think it would if it's a 2-year and a 4-year college, but this is primarily focused towards the sciences, the science, technology, and engineering and math in the junior year. So it likely would, there's not going to be a lot of placement for second year students. At least that's my understanding.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the A9 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Oh, as amended. As amended. Let's do this over again. All those in favor of the A9 amendment as amended, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. This is Mr. Muller, Representative Mullery, the A10 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to find. Oh, you set aside. I'm sorry. You set aside, I believe, 330 in the first and 300 in the second, with specifically 30,000 for East African nations. And in talking to a representative of the West African nations, they requested that they also be included so that we would be establishing that. But they didn't want to just limit it to West African nations. They wanted to include all the other African nations in it.
Representative Newton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Mulroy, does that include North Africa then? Egypt, Libya, and those countries?
I think that other includes
all of Africa.
Everything.
Members, although I wholeheartedly agree that Africa is a country that we need to expand our trade to, I didn't say anything. I said, okay, the continent that we need to expand our trade in. I don't know that $30,000 would go greatly across a full continent. We have an immigrant population, large, from East Africa, and they came to us and asked for substantially more, and essentially a trade office in Mogadishu. I don't think we were going to do that. I'm happy to ask the trade office to put together a couple of, because they couldn't do more than maybe a couple of seminars to help reestablish trade with a pretty beaten up part of the world. If we try to do $30,000 for the whole continent of Africa, I don't know that we'd get much out of it. So I would ask you to vote against this, although I do understand, and I'm happy to work with them next year, because we'll have another budget, a smaller budget, adjustments and whatever. Happy to have my voice heard at the Trade Department, Trade Office. But this time I would like to have the East African nations try to get a little leg up, so to speak, from where they are right now. Any further comments? And let's vote on the A-10 amendment. All those in favor of the A-10 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. No. We have the A-11 amendment, which is a Newton amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is in reference to my House File 959, if you recall, we had a group of young people who were deaf with a sign language interpreter making very compelling testimony as to the needs to help them get into the workforce. So what this amendment is doing is taking $100,000 a year from the general fund and $300,000 from the Workforce Development Fund to provide those employment services for them. This money would go to RISE. And then $360,000 a year from the Workforce Development for a grant to Intermediate School District 287. And then $50,000 each year for a statewide pilot training program. Ms. Mary Hartnett is here to testify if anyone has any questions. But I think, you know, just watching all of you while I was sitting at the table and hearing the young people testify, that this committee as a whole seemed to be very impressed with the need for helping these young people. We are providing assistance for the mentally disabled and for the otherwise physically disabled, but not for the hearing disabled. And so I know you don't go along with this, Mr. Chair, but I'm hoping that the majority of the committee will support it. Thank you.
Any comments? Representative we'll have some tests. Do you want to talk now, or would you prefer to hear the testimony?
Hear the testimony.
Ms. Hartnick, why don't you come to the table and identify yourself for the tapes. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Mary Hartnett. I'm the Executive Director of the Commission of Deaf, Deafblind, and Hard of Hearing Minnesotans. Prior to 2011, the programs and the people that are sitting here that represent the programs were in the base and were taken out of the base. Putting deaf and hard of hearing and deafblind programs makes this disability group the only group that has to compete for funds. The only group. People with mental illness do not have to compete for funds. People with severe disabilities do not. But people who cannot communicate with their own employer because they use American Sign Language have to compete year to year or every 2 years and demonstrate that there is a need. And prior to 2011, policymakers decided it was good policy to include in the population of the state employment supports and services that get these people employed. So I'm asking that I know that you're very committed to the competitive grant process. These people have a high bar that they have to reach. They have to report to Vocational Rehabilitation Services, and they will not get their funds if they do not reach that bar. But they reach that high bar in spades every year. And I know that with the $300,000 that is in the base, was in the base before and now is received through competitive bids, the MEC program generates over $1 million in income for people that would have to go on public assistance if they lost these services. The Vector program, we were today talking about the Fast Track program. They're not even able to get into the Fast Track program because there aren't supports for people who are deaf and hard of hearing. These are programs that help people access the other programs in the state. So I'm asking that you make an exception for this. These programs that have been put into the competitive grant process because they are the only disability group that has to compete against very worthy programs that have high need. But these other programs were meant to level the playing field for people with mental illness, for people with developmental disabilities, and they are worthy programs and they need to be there. But we need to level the playing field, and people who are deaf and hard of hearing that are served in these programs don't even get to first base unless they have communication access and can communicate with their employers.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Blaine Lashbrook. I'm the service team leader at the Minnesota Employment Center, or MEC, and I've just come back today to request that you reconsider and put us back in the base. The first part of House File 959 was requesting $300,000 for deaf and hard of hearing supported employment services in the metro. It's what we currently receive, as Mary said, through the competitive bidding process. And the second part is $400,000 to expand services statewide. I'd like to reiterate what Mary said. These are the levels that we were receiving from the base before the change in 2011. And really, this is about maintaining a critical mass and maintaining the highly specialized staff that we have. If we were defunded for a year and then even refunded the next year, if we're defunded, we lay off all of our staff, and most of the 90 individuals that we support are out of a job. And even if we were refunded the next year, the effort to recruit the staff and train them and bring them up to speed and then identify new consumers and really rebuild that critical mass, that's the biggest worry for us. So I thank you for hearing our testimony today. And for 20 years we were in the base, we were taken out in 11, and we'd just like to be put back in. So thank you for your time.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Greta Palmberg. I'm with the Vector program serving youth who are deaf and hard of hearing, ages 18 to 21. And I just want to share what my colleagues are saying. I am also a mother of a deaf son who is 25, and so personally I've seen the discrimination that's out there for employers to hire people who are deaf or hard of hearing. A lot of those people are not given the chance. If you think of entry-level positions, the first thing that you do is you get a phone call And as soon as the phone call comes in and you can't use the phone and you're using an interpreter through the relay service, that employer knows that you have a disability. And that's the last call that you ever get from that employer if they don't hang up on you during the interviewing process. And so the kind of staff that's needed to communicate with students, not only giving them job experiences, but boosting their reading, writing, and math, and giving them college readiness experiences to access the MNCU system, which we also do, and then working with employers for communication strategies and the employees, having job coaches that can sign, that can communicate on the job and help those job skills. We are competing with those great programs in St. Paul and Minneapolis that serve 3,000 students, and we can't compete in a competitive grant when we have a low incident population, and the price per pupil to get the results that we get is far greater than those other programs. Just to let you know that this year, 90% of our students are receiving SSI welfare benefits. 85% have a second disability besides being deaf or hard of hearing. 45 are immigrant or refugees. 50% are from low income, and 15% come from families who parents can just sign at the minimal level. So given these many barriers, it's just the simple fact that the opportunity for these youth to achieve the self-sufficiency without this comprehensive, vigorous workforce support is low. The same as with Blaine's program. If we currently compete at the competitive grant. If we would not get that and have to wait two more years to compete again, we would have lost staff, we would have lost students, we would have no critical mass, and you can't rebuild these programs once they're taken apart. It's just impossible. So I urge you to look at funding deaf and hard of hearing in the base. In the past, we were competitively put into a deed grant just for deaf and hard of hearing. People that work for employment needs for deaf and hard of hearing, so that still was a competitive grant. We did four quarterly reports, and we had to meet our quotas and our goals as well. So thank you for hearing the testimony today.
This is Mary Hart, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. That competitive grant process was only open to people who serve people who are deaf and hard of hearing. Yeah. So.
Comments from the committee? Representative Uglin. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'll tell you, I have a number of constituents in my district. Some fine young kids that want to go to work and can't go to work. And part of this whole committee is to put people to work. I think we're overlooking these people. I really think that if the committee can find its way somehow to help out this group, when we have that many, what did you say, 80% on Social Security, some type of assistance and things like that, and we have a willing population that wants to go to work, I think we would be remiss if we didn't find a way to make that happen. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like one question to ask. You were in the competitive grant program last round. Did you get any money at all?
This is the Vector program, Greta Palmberg, and we were in the youth competitive grant. We were awarded our grant. Luckily, there were, I think, 28 or 32 applicants, and 9 were awarded. There was writing in the RFP that extra points were given if you're serving deaf and hard of hearing. I believe that helped us, but I'm just concerned about the big populations that are in that competitive pool and price per student.
And thank you, sir, for the question. This is Blaine Lashbrook from MEC again. We did receive $300,000 as a result of the competitive process this year.
It was 300 of the 400,000 you asked for, is that correct?
We had asked for 400,000. We were previously funded at 320,000, so we did actually end up with technically a cut that year.
Mr. Chairman, you increased the competitive grant program. How much money?
20%, I think, in this particular incident.
Thank you very much.
Above what the governor increased it as.
Okay, so.
Representative Norton, did you have something to say?
Well, I had a question first. This money's coming from the part of it's coming from the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who serves on Health and Human Service who already has a negative target for many very vulnerable people, I'm wondering what a cut to the general fund is going to do to our budget. So I'm wondering if someone has addressed that. Okay, thank you. So I also want to just say I very much value all of these programs. I'm actually working with Ms. Harden on some other bills for this population. But we put this grant process in place for a reason. And to not support this amendment does not mean we don't support these programs. As was just stated, they received the grants through the competitive grant process. That's what it's there for. And I know it's onerous. But the state has had, not necessarily in this program, but others, difficulty at times when they're asked to be accountable. And and this program and others that we're doing in other departments is helping with that accountability that we, as legislators, need to assure our taxpayers. So, much as I hate to say it, knowing that general fund, taking money out of a general fund will affect all the other budgets that all those other committees are working on, to know that these folks got money through the competitive grant process and will again this year if they have a good program, and I know that they do. I have to just ask the committee to please stand firm on something that's very hard to do. I know it's hard for me, but to not start picking and choosing winners and losers out of the plethora of great projects that was brought forward. And I'm also concerned, I think Representative Newton, was that yours?
Yes.
That there's three programs in here rather than one at a time. And, I get that too, but that's another issue. And so I'm going to urge folks not to do this, though I know it's very difficult, and just let the process work. And if the grant writing process is too onerous for folks, they need to come talk to us, and we will work with the department to make certain that they help folks provide technical support if they need it to write these grants, particularly for the smaller organizations. Thanks.
Representative Isaacson.
I'm going to go ahead and completely disagree with Representative Norton and hope that we do vote for this for a variety of reasons. If the competitive grant model is something we want to be working with, I don't think its current incarnation is going to get the job done the way we need to. Not only that, I think that we don't understand, or at least we're not choosing to understand, some of the thresholds and differences between some of the groups that are coming in, and I am just simply not interested in abdicating my responsibility as legislator to some committee that's going to make that decision for me. I've been a loud critic of the competitive grant program and will continue to be so, and I would urge you to vote yes for this this amendment, and I hope that other people can see the importance of that. I don't disagree with the substance or the intent of what Representative Norton had to say. I just don't think this particular way we're doing it is even close to getting it done correctly, and I do think it's our responsibility, not a committee, to disperse that money. So I take that responsibility seriously, and I would hope that we would get back to that at some point, but at this point I'm going to be voting yes on this, and I would encourage everybody else to do so.
Representative Clark.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just wondering, I think one of the concerns we heard is that the criteria in the competitive grant fund in the past, when they were awarded, had some extra points for working with disabilities. Is that in the competitive grant this time too?
I think Ms. Hartnett.
Mr. Chair, actually, somebody from the department is here, but in the past, it was prior to 2011, it was funds just as they are for mental illness, just as they are for people with severe disabilities, but those aren't earmarked for any one group. Any group that serves people with mental illness can compete for those funds. Any group that serves people with developmental disabilities can compete for those supported employment funds. And then there was also one for deaf and hard of hearing, so anybody that served deaf and hard of hearing compete for those funds. It was not in a general pool competing against very worthy programs of Native American programs, youth programs, etc. It just puts them into a pool. It's the only disability group that has to do this.
And Representative Mullen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm getting scared to see Representative Newton around, because he goes after our integration aid and now after our competitive grant funds. I think this is a good program. There's a lot of good programs. and the chair made the decision that the competitive grant program worked in the past as the past chair, Representative Gunther, had planned it, and we are going to, if we break it, starting taking funds out of here, we're all going to be, I could have done the same thing, exactly this. I respected where the chair was going. I thought we would respect that. And I think it's unfair to those of us who thought that the committee would follow that plan that didn't bring in people and have amendments, because I had planned to do that, and then I said, no, I think we should go with the chair. So I expect a lot of amendments for the floor if this goes through here, and in ways and means.
Representative Mallory, thank you. Before we go any farther, I will because we have some newer members on this particular committee. I think Representative Gunther and Clark and Mallory have sat on this committee with it for a long time. I have seen chairs in the past take money from one place and put it into their favorite little program, much to the chagrin of good programs. Yes, much to the chagrin of good programs. The governor increased the funding for these competitive grants dramatically. The chair of this committee added 20% to this particular grant pool. I called the department and I asked them which would this particular program be eligible for this grant program. I made it 2 years. I laid this out pretty good. I will go with whatever the committee wants. But as Representative Mallory said, be careful what you wish for, because all of it opens this whole Pandora's box, and we will go back and redo all sorts of programs, and we will pick which ones are the winners and losers. And the chair is the one who really has a little bit more power than the other members. So just remember that as we move forward. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think that I'll just speak for myself. I think everybody on the committee, for myself, Mr. Chair, respects what you've done in the committee and what others have done in the committee to put forth a good bill that will drive a healthy economy in the state of Minnesota. But I just want to recall the testimony that I heard on this specific bill. And I remember one of the young people saying, I tried to get a job over and over and over and over. And, and a lot of times we refer to ourselves because we live with our personal experiences. And I remember having that same exact situation happen to me. And so I just, I'm going to support this amendment just from the basis of, and it has nothing to do with how it has been laid out. I think it's been laid out fine, and a competitive grant will work. But I also want to make sure that, those that have more difficulty and to some extent get discriminated against in their job search, that we do everything we can to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Seeing no further discussion. All those in favor of the A11 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The A11 does fail. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, and thank you, Representative Newton, for offering the amendment. Appreciate your time.
The A12 amendment has been replaced by the A20, so we will go. Does anyone want to claim the A15 amendment? Anyone want to claim the A15 amendment, which is, I think this is one with Well, no one claims it. I believe it's out of order anyhow. But if anyone would like to claim it, we're going to move on.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I think that the 812 and the 820 are the same, aren't they?
Did I say 812? I meant the 815 amendment.
Okay.
The 812 and the 820 are very, very similar.
Okay.
Thing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
The 815 amendment. It's out of order.
And no one claimed it?
And no one claimed it. Representative Mallory, you have the 815, which is the contractor's fund, I believe. So have you picked which one you want out of the five?
A16.
The A16?
A15 is... I don't know what that's about. I don't know anything about A15.
I said the A17. This is your contractor's recovery fund, I think.
Okay, so is A16 and A17 both are, and they will be taken care of later.
Okay. So then...
And so is A18.
So we're going to pass on the A17, the A18.
16, 17, and 18 will pass.
Okay. I have the A19, and I'm going to ask staff, that is mine, I'm going to ask staff to explain it, more technical than anything else.
Mr. Chair and members, the A19 amendments, these are technical corrections that were requested by the Department of Employment and Economic Development to some of the language in the Job Creation Fund.
Any comments, any concerns on the A19 amendment?
Mr. Chair, actually, I misspoke. It's corrections in the redevelopment program, I believe. They're corrections are on page, or the changes are on page 52. And that was House File 991, which is the, I believe, part of the redevelopment program, the Small Cities Development Block Grant Program.
Any comments on the A19 amendment? Any comments on the A19 amendment? Just a technical change, so... Seeing none, all those in favor of the A19 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. The A19 is adopted. Representative Newton, you have the A20 amendment.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. The A20 amendment, if you recall, committee was a loan for a pharmaceutical company that was going to move into a vacated building in Brooklyn Park. Near Representative Uglum's home. This is a major pharmaceutical that's looking and moving in. We're looking to give them a loan of $5 million. One of the things I might add to this that wasn't really covered during the testimony regarding this is that North Hennepin Community College, also located in Brooklyn Park, has just expanded, and this year is opening a bioscience facility on campus. And in Coon Rapids, at our Coon Rapids High School, we have started a STEM program directed towards bioscience, biotechnology. So we're hoping in our area, Representative Uglum's area and my area, to create somewhat of a bioscience alley, if you will, where we've got not only facilities where people can do internships, but also where we've got the schools that will be putting out students at the high school and technical school and also community college level. So I'd like to your support on this committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, yes, this was discussed before, obviously, and tremendous opportunity for the entire North Metro area. This is a firm that has been looking internationally for a place to locate, and very unique. I think we discussed this a little bit, Mr. Chair. Very unique building that is there right now. Gives us a kind of a one-upmanship here to bring this. Total deal home, and the economic benefit to the surrounding area
not only Brooklyn Park, but Champlin and Coon Rapids and things in terms of the spin-offs of other jobs and things is quite huge. Thank you.
Any other comments? Seeing none. The A-20 amendment. All those in favor of the A-20 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same aye. Sign. Members, I'm going to go as far as I can push this. Maybe we can get this bill done today and don't have to come back tonight or tomorrow. So unless there's objections.
Did we just put on 821?
So we have the 821. We'll keep going until somebody complains. This deals with the job creation fund, the A-21. Execution, there's some technical language on the amendment 1, line 1-3 through 1-8. The substance of it is starting at 1-10, and what it does is it in the job creation fund now they have to go a year before they can do some of these expenditures. This changes it to 6 months. Makes it a little simpler for companies and for the department. Any concerns or comments? Seeing none. All those in favor of the 821 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. The 822 amendment. This is, some of these I've worked with Representative Gunther. Now we're going to replace that with the 829 amendment. So we'll go to the 823 amendment. This is the Center for Rural Policy and Development in Mankato. This takes $100,000 from the Film Board and $100,000 from the Science Tech and appropriates that each year, $100,000 the first year, $100,000 the second year, to the Center for Rural Policy and Economic Development. Any comments? Any concerns? All those in favor? Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I assume this is Representative Gunther's.
It's a joint effort with Representative Gunther and myself.
I was just going to say that when I first came into the legislature, one of the first bills I voted for was sponsored by a chair from...
If poverty can be used, we could probably get this bill done in about 10 minutes.
A chair from the east side of St. Paul, I was going to end the sentence, supported this strongly, so I continue to support the chairs from the east side of St. Paul.
Thank you. Thank you. All those in favor of this amendment, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Representative Metzen is not here. This is his amendment. 824. Which one? The 825. This is, he came to me last night asking to continue this particular conversation about this. This is the NAMBI, the mentally, persons with mental illness. This is really just a placeholder. It takes $25,000 out of the workforce development. This is no guarantee that it's going to move forward, but if there wasn't something in the bill, there's no way to discuss.
Yep.
All those in favor of the A-25 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
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 The A-26, this is you want to take care of the contract stuff later or right now?
Whatever you prefer.
If this is the amendment, which amendment would you like to do, the A-26 or the 28?
The 28.
The A-28. This is a technical amendment that deals with the Contractor Recovery Fund?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Fortunately, I was reading through the bill amazingly. And caught the fact that the language from the department on the contractor's fund recovery fund, which what it does is if you sue a contractor for damage in your house and they don't pay you, you can go to the fund. Their language would have excluded hundreds of thousands of homeowners in Minnesota. And so we've worked on language to get at what actually was the purpose of theirs. I'm not sure that it's the best language, but it's what their attorney wants right now. Our house attorney thinks there's a better word instead of business, but for now, let's go with the language they want, and this will clear it up. The purpose of this is to maintain the funds for the homeowners and not for businesses.
Any concerns or comments? Seeing none. The 821, all those in favor of the 828, the 828 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, same sign. The A29. This is one that Representative Gunther brought to me, and I put it together, and we're going to do it here. So, Representative Gunther, this deals with the Minnesota Job Creation Fund. On page 58, line 19, what we're doing is we are extending the amount of time for greater Minnesota companies to, Representative Gunther, I'm gonna call a friend. This extends the time
for them to use the program.
Right, that's it. Yes, to use the program in the urban seven county area. I guess it's looked at now. This is the 11 county area. They will have 5 years. In the greater Minnesota, they will have seven. On line 1.7, this allows the projects located in the metropolitan area to stay the same, and outside they will be able to get a... Well, Representative Gunther, you do the second half of that one. I've done 20 of them. You get to do this one.
This will allow them to have 7.5% of projects located outside the metro, 7.5% of the projects located outside the metropolitan area.
Now, Mr. Gunther,
I think I'm in the same place you are.
Yeah.
Anita?
Let's go to the staff.
All friend.
Mr. Chair and members, this is the percent that is rebatable, and so it increases the percentage for projects in greater Minnesota.
Okay. And then the other part, starting at line 1.1, is to change the number of employees needed from 200 and insert 50. This makes it more available to more people in both the metro and greater Minnesota.
All those, any comments on the A29 amendment?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Could I just ask a question?
Representative Clark.
So this is retained employees, that in other words, they could lay off 150 and have 50 and they'd still get it? I'm confused what that does.
This, I believe they have to do... deed to the table. Briefly.
Here comes
this is not your amendment, but you can explain it. Mr. McKenna, please identify yourself for the tape and answer Representative Clark's question.
Kevin McKenna, Executive Director in the Economic Development Division at DEED. The provision that's before you with the retention issue moves obviously down to 50 employees for the company. When we deal with retention projects, companies cannot. There would be an agreement on how many employees they currently have, and what the retention is. So, if they have 50 employees and are retaining 50 employees and doing what, making the investment, that's one part. If they have 100 employees currently, what would happen is we would hold them to the 100. So they would just have to have at least 50.
Representative Clark.
Mr. Chairman, I'm a little confused. Would a percentage be better than an absolute number? Because it sounds like... So if they have 200 employees and they lay off 150... That's still my question.
Mr. Chair, when they come to you, when they come to the department and are asking for this program and they are investing a certain amount of money, and they come to the department and with originally 200 jobs, the intent of this is to retain those 200 jobs, is my understanding. And the 50 that is now the number is they would have to retain at least 50. Now, when they come to the department with an amount already in mind and how many they are currently employing, they would be held to retain that amount.
No, I'm not claiming to understand this all, but I would like to work with Representative Gunther, if you would, to clarify what we're doing here, because I don't think he wants to do exactly what this bill says, and I think I'm understanding from them that it's a little bit different. So if we could work on this, I would be pleased to support it. I just don't think I can support it without changing it somewhat.
Mr. Chairman, this is jointly ours, but I would be glad to do that.
So, Representative Clark, do you not want to pass this amendment, or do you want to pass this amendment and make any changes to it, maybe in ways and means?
That's what I said. I'd like to work with Representative Gunther to vote for it.
I'm happy to make that adjustment in ways and means if we need to. All those in favor of the A-29 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, same sign. You have a riser amendment?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So which ones are they? Representative Savick, you have the revises amendment. Do you have a copy of it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah.
This amendment is void because I didn't have any funding for the change. But I did want to present it anyway because I feel that the Minnesota Investment Fund is very important to the rural communities. And I do not believe the jobs bill as it is passed, with the funding going after they have hired and met their goals, is going to help greater Minnesota as much as funding in the initial stages of the project. And I wanted to get that message out.
not the first time that message has been said to me. So you've been a pretty strong advocate on that. But it is out of order, so we will take that off to the side. We have the Eisenstein Amendment, the A-130397.
So, thank you, Mr. Chair. At the risk of incurring the wrath of the chair yet again today, I will introduce this. And
you've seen the wrath yet.
I
I have seen the wrath.
I've been told stories. I was at the Ranger Party, so they did tell me about that. But what I will say is, again, you know, the same argument applies here as it did before. I think I struggle again with the way this works, and you know, I think that this is an organization that's doing too crucial of work to be left up to a committee to make that decision, and I struggle with the way we have this competitive grant process. I get that there are things I don't understand because I wasn't here, and I respect that. I'm just, again, not convinced that the way it is now is the way it should be, and that's my struggle. I would love to have enough votes to make this happen and really see this organization through and what it's doing, especially in line with specifically the work they do with at-risk youth to get them ready for the workforce and the work they do to really help save our state a ton of money down the road, because they've brought people out of poverty and given them the tools they need to be successful. And so, you know, I can't speak enough to that. I understand the committee's situation, and I'm sensitive to that. Nonetheless, I'd still like them to vote for it. Thank you.
Members, I'm going to briefly speak to it. This is coming 900. This is $1.8 million right out of the dislocated workers fund. On top of it, kind of breaking that compact with the competitive grants, I have real concerns with that. So I would ask that we vote against this. Certainly willing to work with anyone here over the next year, in the interim and next year, if we need to fix the grant program. You know, maybe there are things that we need to do, but at this particular time, no one has brought them forward. Representative Eisenstein, did you have a comment?
No, I meant pick me to
help you fix that program. That's all I was saying.
all those in favor of the 813-0397 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No. No.
That brings us to Bill. That's the last of the amendments. Members, before I make some closing comments, I want to thank the committee staff. Mr. Aguilar, Kaying Pao, David Sullivan, the DFL research, John Reynolds, the GOP research, Ron Soderberg, the fiscal analysis, who actually, I'm the luckiest man in the world. Well, and Anita Newman, House Research, makes me kind of the luckiest man in the world also. I would like to thank Nasser Musa. I think I got that correct. Thank you, Nasser. And Mike Cook, the House Public Information. Members, I think I said it the other day. You know, Deed Now finally, we've had tools in the toolbox. Deed Now finally has the gasoline to make the tools work and the grease to put their shoulders to the wheel and create a healthy economy for the state of Minnesota. I could go on. This has been a wonderful experience to put this bill together and actually see some things that we could try to do. I won't belabor it. We all have session here, I think, coming up pretty soon.
I'll keep it real quick, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Netza?
I just want to remind the members of the committee, with all the grief I've gotten for forgetting a treat in the past, that I did not only...
Make sure they're at the end of the table so people can grab them on the way out, too.
Yeah, not only did I get this from a local candy shop up north, but it has the most appropriate name out of all the candy that's been in here for us. It's called Hot Air.
Are there any other comments on the bill? Representative Gunther.
Mr. Chairman, this has been a good experience. I think the committee got along very well. And I'd also like to thank everybody here that was such a big part of that.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to second that. As a freshman, I think this is a wonderful committee, and I'm very pleased with the way things went and the way that you ran this committee. I think you did a wonderful job. So thank you.
Well, it has been a pleasure being the chair of this committee. I think we have probably one committee hearing next week that we have a couple free bills to pass for taxes, but it'll be on the regular schedule. I do want to thank everyone. This has been a very manageable committee. You know, you didn't go crazy like in some of the other committees I've sit on, and we've all gotten along, and I hope we continue to. This is the way government is supposed to work sometimes, most of the time. Now, I've gotten a bunch of notes. I'm going to move to pass as amended House. I'm going to move to pass House File 729 as amended and we refer to the Committee on Ways and Means incorporating into, and to pass and direct the staff to make any technical fixes that need to be made. I think I got that correct. Seeing no comments. All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Thank you, members.
No
business of the committee
tonight.
Is done. We stand adjourned.
Here.